Welcome to Unknown Artist. You're listening to episode 12 with Carlisle Evans Peck.
I'll start with the song that I've been opening my sense with. Okay. It's an a cappella song. Mm-hmm. It is called Awaken.
I awoke with a hunger falling down. Like the leaves of the ash down upon my shoulders. A mantle crimson aflame, set in tacking on a wave of silver fish scales. I am vain, I am lost, treading kelp and weltering. A sinuous grip on my wrist, adamantine. There is no other than this. No betrayal nor unwelcome frost on heather can erase or unwind the tight-bound tether. Save setting the whole field
such a powerful way to open a show. How have you found it is performing that as your opener?
It's the first time that I ever... Well, I shouldn't say that for this song. I'm going to start with the first time I figured out that a cappella songs are really powerful for an audience and just how that transforms a space. I was at an open mic in Minneapolis, and I, sang an a cappella song, and it was, so unexpected for people. It, really was clear that people were oh, this is not, something that we usually hear at an open mic. People mm-hmm. don't just, stand up and sing, usually, without, an instrument. Yeah, so it, definitely catches people off guard and, catches people's attention as well, mm-hmm. and they're, drawn in, because, something, vulnerable is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just, seeing somebody, start singing.
Yeah, silence is really tough.
Yeah, yeah. And then one of the things that's been fun about it for me is, getting over the fear of it, or, stepping into, my own, fear and anxiety about it, because, it is a super vulnerable moment, and it's, scary. It's scary to, start a show that way, and then be very aware of everybody's eyes on you with nothing in between, and very aware of the silence, and oh no, I need to fill that silence with something, but, like, trying to resist that urge and, like, mm-hmm. let the silence be, like, that's been, like, a lot of discomfort that, like, I've had to work through as well, because it's a weird feeling,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
it's fun, it's, like, also a fun feeling to, like, confront that fear and then realize that it's liberating.
Yeah.
Have
you found it to be liberating? Like, how many times have you done this?
Yeah.
If you were to estimate.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe, like, a few dozen. Yeah, because not just on this tour, but it's been, like, a while that I've been starting with that song. It's felt really right.
And do you feel like you're coming more into it each time?
Yeah. It feels like a great tone setter for, like, me as well.
Other than this, have you used, like, a leader song before? Like, this is my comfort song.
Mm. There's one that when I first put my band together in Minneapolis a few years ago, for the shows that we did, we had, like, one song that we, like, did always as an opener. And it was, like, a mostly improvised song with, like, lots of, like, soaring, like, cascading vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Three, like, vocalists that sing with me as well. But, like, that one was, like, always one that also felt like a good open song. It feels like that's, like, the most important song in the entire set. It's, like, what you start with.
So, we're very familiar with, like, the sort of how it feels to do that song and what it
yeah.
means in that way. What is the song about? What propelled you to write it?
I wrote it on my bike.
There's a common theme that I've found with a lot of people is,
yeah.
like, in transit is
yeah.
when you write songs.
Yeah. I find that for me, like, generally as well. I wasn't really sure what it was about or what the words were about, and I'd
mm-hmm.
never, like, written anything melodically that has that sort of style. I think I'd been listening to a lot of Bjork, particularly,
mm.
at that moment. And I think that some, like, inspiration from her, like, worked in there as well. Like, just the way that her vocal melodies,
mm-hmm.
like, take unpredictable turns and, like, sound like they're, like, from a different time or, like, from outside of time.
Well, I find she really plays with notes, and she really,
yeah.
like, she pushes the sound to really evoke a lot of emotion. And
yeah.
it's not just, like, what's a catchy tune? It's, like,
yeah.
this is every note is intentional, and
yeah.
every way that I change my voice is intentional,
mm-hmm.
and, like, conveying an emotion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that something else that blows me away about her music is, like, how speech-like her melodies are. Like, she's very clearly singing, but it's, like, somewhere in between singing and speaking, almost. Just, that seems like a very, making it fall almost like speech is, like, a really important, like, part of her writing, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's really cool. And I'm going to play Crystallized. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to that earlier today.
Cool.
So good. Thank you.
right at my feet. There's a glacier in my nerves, sprawled in black feather heat. Tell me what you would erase, and I'll do it right now. But you're not that easy to escape, so darling, don't make no sound.
Such a powerful song. Where is that Thank power you. From? where is it coming from?
Ooh. So that's from my album Electric Porcelain. And just a lot of songs on there were love songs. Or like, I don't know, just like songs about different like moments of heartbreak, I think. And like a lot of that being, I think, a lot of that being connected with like, I think internalized homophobia, sabotaging these relationships, or like at least like sabotaging like my own like romantic life and like stability.
Takes a lot of work to get through that. Like we grow up and we live in like such a homophobic world.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I came out as gay, like, when I was 18, 19, yeah, and so 8 years ago, and, like, put out an album, it was, like, a self-released, like, Bandcamp album, like, the first one that I did, really, that was, like, about the what's traditionally like the, just the process of coming out, like actually like first claiming that identity or any identity,
mm-hmm.
and like proclaiming it to the world, any identity that that's not hetero to the world. That was like about that process and just.
Should I close the window? Sorry to interrupt. But
oh no,
should
you're
I
fine.
Close the window?
I think that's a good idea.
I think the neighbors are. Having a time.
Okay. of All Is Well. Yeah, where was I? Oh, an album that was, like, about processing that. A lot of those songs were processing coming out. And so I like, felt, like, in a way that, like, that was, like, all done. Like, I was, like, I'm, like, free now, and, like, I don't have any more to process. Yeah, now I win. I don't have any more to process. And then was just realizing, like, how much more I, like, still have to work through in these relationships, in these, like, moments. They're, like, moments of, like, pain, for sure. But they were, like, cycles that, like, I realized that I could have gotten myself out of and, like, stopped, like, making the same choices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, like, getting myself in the same situation. And, like, part of that was, like, my own responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Electric Porcelain, a lot of these songs came out of, like, processing, like, stuff that I still needed to process with, like, upbringing in a homophobic society, and,
mm-hmm.
like, lots of, like, internalized shame that goes around that, like, and everybody, like, that grows up in this society has.
Yeah, like, if you're watching, you know, especially, I think maybe things are getting better, but I think certainly when we were growing up, it was, you know, if you watch TV, if you listen to the radio, if you listen to any media, see videos, you're going to be, and, like, just interact with the world. You're going to come up against, like, a lot of things that are really jarring, especially, like, if you're gay, if you're, like, really any sort of marginalized identity, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's really hard to, like, get through that.
Like, I think that one of the most, the most important thing for any person growing up is to have stories in their lives that they can hear and relate to their own experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's, like, an incredibly important thing for like, people growing up, for young people and for children. And, like, if you're growing up in a society that doesn't provide you with any, like, any stories, any cultural narratives that, like, match your own experience, then it's, like, then I feel like that creates so much shame, because it's, like, oh, whatever I'm experiencing is not what everybody else is experiencing and should be experiencing.
Yeah, that's a jarring realization.
that makes people feel ashamed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is not whatever I'm, like, feeling, however, like, my body looks, is not being reflected in, like, the culture that I'm surrounded by. Like, oh, I must not be part of it.
Yeah.
Or, like, those identities are not part of it, so I can't be that, and it's bad to be that. So, anyway, I think that one thing that's positive about the cultural moment that we live in is, like, in more dominant, like, media sources, like, there are stories that reflect the experience of marginalized identities that,
mm-hmm.
like,
we're seeing that so
relatable.
Much more now than,
yeah.
than we ever did before.
Yeah, I think that's super significant. And that's why, like, you see, like, a whole lot of, like, youth empowerment right now, I think. Like,
yeah.
It's just, like, there's, like, yeah, that's an empowering thing. So, Electric Porcelain was also, like, I felt like it was, like, a small way that I could, like, contribute a story to this, like, burgeoning mass.
Welcome to the burgeoning mass.
Yes, welcome to the burgeoning mass.
Thank you for joining.
Yes.
And sharing and adding your little bit that only you can add to this burgeoning mass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I strive for.
It's great. Also, you're a fantastic singer.
Thank you.
How has that evolved?
I did not like my voice for a long time.
I think most people have that experience.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. And, like, I think definitely in the, like, most common era of one's life, adolescence, like,
yeah.
I really, like, hated my voice. Super hated my voice. So self-conscious about it. And, like, hated singing high, because it was, like, it was a vulnerable thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, nobody wants to be vulnerable when they're a teenager.
And singing in and of itself is a very vulnerable thing to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I, like, really did not like my voice for a long time. I sang in choirs for, like, all of middle school, high school, and college. And also, I think that, like, something about the, like, specificity and rigidity of singing in a choir, like, it really, that, like, made it, that made me feel, like, more, like, constricted and more like I hated my voice. But I didn't know that I was feeling constricted, I don't think. I think that I just thought that, like, I thought that, like, oh, this doesn't come easily to me, or something like that.
Well, choral singing and being, like, the lead singer, the lead vocal on, like, something is very different. And and it's a big difference of, like, is this your story or is this a shared story?
Yeah, totally. And I think that there's something really powerful. Like, don't get me wrong, I think there's something really powerful about choral singing. And, like, singing in a group, there's, like, a level of emotion and intensity that you get.
But it's a very different thing.
Yeah. And I think that, like, it would, like, make me more self-conscious about my voice. And then I started, like, when I started performing and singing and writing lyrics of my own more, I slowly started to, like, embrace my voice a little bit more and realize, like, oh, I do know where my voice naturally sits, and it's, like, it is, like, a higher range voice. Oh, I can, like, actually figure out how to use my falsetto, and that was really liberating. Like, it was, like, wow, I can, like, go beyond all constraints, like, typical, like, constraints of, like, gender on voice, that, like, this is where boys are supposed to sing, or something like that, more typically, and I was, like, I can, like, completely blow that out of the water and, like, play with the boundaries of my voice in a way, bigger way, which is really liberating. And, like, it opened, like, more of an exploration into, like, how the voice, the range of the voice as, like, an emotional instrument, an instrument of emotion. Like,
Well, suddenly you have, like, I mean, not suddenly, over a long time of practicing and expanding your vocal range, with more range and more control over your voice, you have more tools at your disposal to really emote and to actually, like, articulate your emotion through song.
I'm most inspired by singers who, like, can sort of embody different characters in their songs through their voice. Just, like, how drastically they can change the tone, and intentionally they change the tone of their songs using their voice. That's something that, like, blows me away, and I'm so just always attracted to in an artist.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to do one more song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to. Thank you.
on my lips, I'm a beauty queen. Lay me down. Lay me down. Queen.
Yes. Oh, it's sassy and like such a beautiful way. I love it.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Oh, I love the, like, you use the full range of your instrument. It's so great to see, so great to hear. And I love hearing all of the huge sonic range that you offer. Thank you.
Thank you. These are such kind words.
How did you learn piano? What's been your process with that?
Yeah. I started taking lessons when I was 8, either 8 or 9. But before that, my older cousin would teach me, like, little ditties on the piano. Like, she taught me Heart and Soul.
Mm.
And, like, taught me, like, the first, like, few measures of Moonlight Sonata.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever the next part is. I was, like, immediately, like, this is really cool. I, like, really like being able to make sounds on this instrument. And, yeah, so took piano lessons for, like, many years. And loved it, but, like, pretty quickly figured out that, like, I could hear things, I could, like, listen to things on TV, and then I have an instrument, and I can, like, play them back, and it was like, that's cool, I can, like, make those same noises, and then figure out that, like, it was fun to make up things on the piano, mm-hmm. and, like, I could make something up, and it, like, actually sounded nice on the piano, and I was like, that's cool, that, like, I don't always have to follow something, and, yeah, and then, like, that very quickly took over as, like, this is what I care about the most with this instrument. I'm super, so glad that I took piano lessons for as long as I did, though, because, like, I feel like it unlocked a lot of, like, doors much more easily
mm-hmm.
than, like, if I didn't take lessons. So I'm, like, really grateful my parents got me piano lessons and, like, mm-hmm. kept me in them. And I had a lot of really great teachers. Yeah, and then I think that, like, as I started, like, writing songs, as they, like, shifted from, like, replicating movie soundtracks when I was really little to, like, angsty singer-songwriter
yeah.
songs when I was, like, in high school and, like, or in college, and transitioned into, like, what the songs are today, I really loved taking something that sort of felt familiar at the beginning, and, like, at the beginning of, like, the writing process, and, like, doing everything that I could to, like, knock it off kilter, or just stretch it in a direction that's not expected, and I feel like that's, like, what really mostly compels me with writing songs,
mm-hmm.
is, like, how can I, alter the form, yeah. How can I do that? Make it sound a little bit different than you think it's going to go.
Do you approach it much like sculpture?
I think about it more like weaving. Taking various threads and that, like, don't look, they don't look, like, a whole lot when they're apart, but, like, weaving them together in, like, such a way that it, like, blossoms into this image, mm-hmm. into this beautiful pattern. And I need that I think about that with, like, the process of writing a song, like, lyrics and story and all. Like, it's, like, how to just, like, weave and braid these different parts together to, like, mm-hmm. elongate something. And it does feel like as the song is being written, like, it's, like, being woven or braided. And, like, as I write a new section, like, some more disparate parts are, like, finding their way in to mingle
in the
big thing.
So do you find you write, like, your lyrics and everything, like, all together in one sort of jumble?
Yeah, it most often feels like it all happens together. Although recently I've written a few songs that had, like, complete piano parts for a few months.
Oh, wow.
Before I had any words for them. And they, like, definitely feel, they feel like different songs than others that I've written before. And I think partially because of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, like, do I have any songs that I've written where, like, the instrumental is done first completely?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I do.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be a very strange experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you...
I usually do kind of... Yeah, I usually will play around with, like, some chord progressions or, like, rhythms. And then, you know, like, words might pop into my head or a melody or something. And, like, I'll just kind of go with it. And so it does kind of end up being, like, woven together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, and that feels like a very, like, organic way of writing something. The curious thing for me is always, like... Like, that feels like being visited by, like, a muse or something. Like,
it does feel,
like,
that way.
It feels like, wow, this inspiration is, like, not from me. It feels like it's, like, coming from without me. Because, like,
Yeah, like, it's coming from the ether of, like, you know, that realm where just music comes from and you just, like, have to listen.
Yeah, exactly. it's like a, like a channeling thing. Process or something.
Yeah, and I think that's something that a lot of artists have kind of said in the past.
Yeah, that is, like, a common description
for
it. I wonder what it is.
I don't know.
That actually is.
Maybe there is some magical land where music comes from.
Maybe.
And it's just another dimension, and some people are closer to that. They
or
just
like
listen
like,
better.
Or like, yeah, or like some people like learn to listen.
And then eventually, science will be so good, and we'll go into that dimension, the music dimension, and then...
We just live there.
We'll find out that all of them are angry that we're stealing all their music.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Or they'll
maybe
just be really...
Maybe they're stealing things from us, though.
Maybe. Also, maybe they're just, like, happy that we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be really sweet.
That would be.
I'm grateful for that.
Like,
for
I hope,
that
I was hoping
land.
You could hear it beyond the dimension.
Yeah. Oh, they're so kind in the music dimension.
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would like to be in the music dimension.
Yeah, I would too. I bet it would be, like, very sunny.
I think it would change a lot. I think it would be a place of so many intensities.
You're probably right. There would be, like, some real mean hot deserts.
Well, thanks for listening. Tune in next week on Unknown Artist.